I find I'm amazed by Jesus. I'm ongoingly amazed by Jesus. And then when I hear a passage like Danny read tonight, I'm just increasingly amazed by him. You just think about it for a second. Jesus has just entered the gates of Jerusalem. He is less than 24 hours from dying an excruciatingly painful death. He is less than a couple of hours away of being betrayed by one of his guys in his closest inner circle of friends. And what does the most powerful man ever to walk the earth decide to do? How does he decide to use his time? He washes the feet of his disciples. It's seemingly ridiculous. You see, because the situation was Jesus and all his disciples were sitting in this upper room and they were having a supper, and there was what they did is they sat on these low tables and they had their feet kind of pointing away from the table. And no doubt they had their feet pointing away from the table because they stunk. Why do their feet stink? Well, when you do a lot of walking, inevitably your feet are going to smell. Well, that's especially so when you're walking around on roads that have a lot of animal poo on the roads. And you're going to be stepping on a whole lot of animal poo, and you're not going to have a lot of foot protection wearing the sort of flimsy sandals that were around 2,000 years ago. So these guys' feet stunk. They smelled. They were filthy. And it was custom in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago for someone to wash those feet. But only the lowest, humblest, the most bottom-of-the-line servant would perform that kind of a duty, because it was filthy. No one wanted to do it. It was a job no one wanted. Yet here comes Jesus, this one that all his disciples just revere. He is their master. He is the one that they worship. And he comes along and he starts cleaning their feet. And they start feeling awkward. They start feeling uncomfortable because here's this great one cleaning their filthy feet. It would be kind of like Barack Obama dropping by your house and scrubbing your toilet after a bout of diarrhea. Yeah, awkward. Nasty. Yet even more awkward was that than that was Peter. And some of you might have the sort of friends who they're really great, they're really thoughtful, and they think things in their head and they sift them through, and it takes a while for them to speak them because they are considered when they speak. Well, Peter is not one of those guys. He's kind of one of, you might have some of your friends who just blurt things out all the time. What they think is immediately what they speak. And Peter feels awkward. And so Jesus comes around to him and he says, "Are you going to wash my feet?" Because Peter, he could just not stand having his master do such a menial task. And you can imagine the whole room just goes silent. Like, oh man, Peter's at it again. And then Jesus responds, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." And the room goes even more silent. Everyone's thinking, oh, Jesus is pretty picky about his hygiene, you know? Like, unless I wash you, you've got no part with me. And everyone's kind of just a bit taken aback. And again, the awkwardness is still there. And then Peter just, you know, be the sort of guy who kind of blurts things out. He doesn't like an awkward silence. So he kind of just says essentially, well, if it means being part of you, then just don't just wash my feet, wash the whole thing. Wash me all over. Wash me all over, Jesus. Peter just completely doesn't get it. Because on the surface, Jesus is washing people's feet, but he's trying to communicate something much more profound, something much more deeper. And as Jesus said in verse 7, when Peter first protested, Jesus said, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you'll understand." You see, as dirty as Peter's feet were, I don't think Jesus was really primarily fussed about his hygiene. I don't think Jesus really is worried about how clean or how dirty your feet are tonight. Jesus is trying to communicate something vitally important to us about our relationship with God, about our cleanliness before God. And so what Jesus says to his disciples is of vital importance to us tonight. Unless I wash you, you have no part with me. You know, I know some people who think that being in relationship with God is all about the things that they can do for Him. You know, and some people actually, because they think that, they go, well, I'm never going to be in relationship with God because I can never live up to His standard. I'm not good enough for Him. Some people go, well, if it's all about the things that I can do for Jesus, I'll just have a bit of relationship with God a little bit later in my life. I'm young, I've got lots of time, I've got lots of energy right now, and I'm just going to spend that in the way that I want to, and maybe when I'm a little bit older and my opportunities are a little bit more limited and life's a little bit boring, maybe I might be, you know, I might be a bit of a do-gooder, I might do the religious thing, and I might kind of get into the whole God thing later on. You had a friend like that. He used to come along here to Elevate with me on Friday nights. And he came every now and then, and he was kind of interested in God, but he never really connected with God. He was never really in relationship with God. And one day, well after we'd finished youth, we were at the pub, and I asked him, well, what's the story, mate? And he said to me, well, I just couldn't do all that stuff. I couldn't do all the stuff that God wants me to do. You know, my friend, like so many other people, look at relationship with God and they think that relationship with God is all about what we do for God. But what we see here is Jesus. It's all about what Jesus does for us. Unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Jesus must wash us. But what does he mean when he talks about washing us? What's the big deal? Why is it so important that we must be washed? Well, if Jesus is saying that, it must mean that in some way we're dirty. We're unclean, we're filthy. What do I mean by that? Because that's the kind of depiction that the Bible gives of our kind of state before God. Well, think of the most disgusting, rancid, smelly, filthy thing you've ever found. It might have been that banana that you left in the bottom of your school bag over the summer holidays, and then you open your school bag ready to get to school, and as if you weren't excited enough about going to term one, you rip and open your bag, and it just smells like it just smells a whole lot of nasty, and you want to get a completely new school bag. I don't know, just think of the most filthiest, smelliest, stinkiest thing you've ever encountered. And the Bible says, well, that's kind of like you're standing before God. You see, because the Bible says that we have sinned, that we are sinners, that our hearts are inherently sinful. We don't just commit sins, we don't just do bad things, we are sinful. What do I mean by that? Well, the Bible kind of talks about sin being rebellion against God, ignoring Him, doing our own thing, going our own way, rejecting Him. Instead of seeing God as God and King over all creation, we want to be King. We want to be in control. Stuff God. You might not have even said stuff God in your heart, but the way that you live your life, you don't acknowledge God at all because you want to be king. There's no way God's going to be king over your life. And the Bible says that that is sin. And accordingly, that makes us just filthy before God. Because you see, God is perfect. He's pure. He's what the Bible calls holy. He's almighty. If you were here week one of term and we looked at just the expanse of the universe, that wouldn't surprise you. And God is just. And so when people live in rebellion against Him and they're kind of, because they're so sinful in His sight, we can't come into His presence. Just like darkness can't be in the presence of light, you know, if I walk into my bedroom at night and it's full of darkness, but I switch the light on, all the darkness disappears because there's no way that light and darkness can coexist. Well, the same way in our sinfulness, we just would be vaporized if we were in the presence of God because He is so great. And because God is just, the Bible says that He's going to judge sin. He's going to judge sinners. And the Bible says that we're all sinners. And that is most fully going to work itself out in eternity. Those who know God and are in relationship with Him will be with Him forever, but those who are dead in their sins, who remain filthy before God, will remain under God's judgment for all eternity. You can see Jesus is saying something profound here. So we're filthy, we're dirty. We should wash ourselves, right? But the problem is we can't wash ourselves. We don't just commit sin, we are so inherently sinful. Think of it this way. Imagine, even just imagine for a second, that from this point forward you said, I am not going to sin anymore. I heard Ed talking about how filthy my sin makes me before God, and I'm not going to sin from this point forward. I'm going to please God. I'm going to do what He wants me to do. And you try doing that, and let me tell you, but by the way, that's kind of impossible. You try it for a week and you come back to me and let me know. You tell me if you've lived a week without sinning, it's impossible because we're inherently sinful. But let's just say we could do that. We'd still have the stain and the filthiness from sin in our lives, from our lives up until this point. It'd be like a shoplifter. Oh, no, let's raise the stakes a little bit. It'd be like a murderer. And they just murdered people. One day they heard that murder wasn't right and they said, well, from this day forward, I ain't going to murder anyone else. Well, good for you, buddy. But that isn't going to change what you've done in the past. There's blood on your hands. Or even a shoplifter. Shoplifter goes along and stealing stuff for the first 20 years of his life. At age 21 says, I want to be a man. I want to turn things around. I want to stop shoplifting. But the reality is that there's still 20 years of debt behind him. 20 years of stolen goods that he can't erase. And so even in that little example, we can see that we are hopelessly stained by sin. That because God is just and because we've rebelled against Him and gone our own way and because He's just and He's got to bring judgment. There's like these stains on us that we can't wash off. There's this punishment hanging over us. There's this judgment hanging over us. We need someone to step in. We need someone to cleanse these stains for us. We need someone to deal with this judgment. We need someone to deal with this punishment. And so in steps Jesus. In steps Jesus. God takes on the form of man. If that wasn't mind-blowing enough already. Lives the perfect life. And as he's about to do in this passage, goes to the cross and dies on the cross for our sins. He died the death that we were supposed to die because he's perfect and powerful enough as God to actually to deal with our sins, to wash us, because we are powerful, we are incapable of dealing with our sins. But Jesus, as the Son of God, he's powerful enough to deal with it, and he hangs on the cross to take our punishment. He takes the bullet for us. It'd kind of be like sitting in a courtroom, and imagine if you were sitting in a courtroom and there's a criminal record slapped down in front of you, a list of everything you'd ever done wrong, and the judge is before you and he's about to bring down the verdict. He's about to sentence you. And someone walks into the courtroom, picks up the criminal record, gives it a read, walks up to the judge and says, I'll take responsibility for this. You can let him go. Jesus came and he dealt with our filth. He dealt with the punishment that was meant to come our way. Why did he do it? Why did he do it for you? Because he loves you. You know, at the start of John 13, when Jesus is trying to communicate something really profound, it said, why did he do this? To demonstrate the extent of his love for his disciples. Yeah, let me say, not everyone's going to be washed. Not everyone's going to be cleaned. Not everyone's going to have their filth removed from them. Because you see, what Jesus did on the cross was a gift. Not because of anything we've done, but because God loves us, that's grace. And he offers it and extends it as a gift. But the only way a gift becomes mine is if I receive it. The cleansing isn't automatic. I've got to receive this gift. I've got to receive what Jesus has done for me on the cross out of his love. How do I receive it? The Bible says, by faith. by trusting in Jesus, by believing that He really is the Son of God, that He really existed, that He really came and lived the perfect life and died on the cross to take the punishment for your sins, that you might be forgiven, that your criminal record might be wiped clean. And by believing in Jesus, you receive that gift. And we can do that right now, actually, by praying. By faith, by trusting in Jesus, praying and saying, Jesus, yes, I accept what you've done for me. I accept that you've loved me, and I was headed for an eternity apart from you. I was headed for God's judgment, but you did not want it to remain like that. You wanted to draw me into relationship with you. So you came and hung on the cross for me. Yes, Jesus, I want that relationship with you. I want to be saved. I don't want to end in an eternity apart from you. I want to be with you. That gift can be yours by believing, and we can do that by prayer. And in a second, actually, I want to pray and invite you guys to pray along with me if you have not invited Jesus into your life as your Lord, the one who you actually rightly go, I'm not king anymore, but He is, I'm living for Him, and as your Savior, the one who saved you from your sin and your death. Because let me tell you, the most important thing in your lives is where you stand in relationship to God. And it's not by what you do, but Jesus says, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. And He offers Himself to you tonight. And so I kind of just want to interrupt my talk. And I actually want to pray. And if you're just saying, yes, this is the first time I've heard this, or I've heard this before, but I get it. Yes, Jesus, I want you. I don't want to live in my sinful ways anymore. I want what you offer me. I want eternal life. I'm going to pray. So I encourage you guys just to bow your heads. And I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray in the first person. And if this is you, I want you to pray along in your hearts and accept Jesus into your life, to accept this gift that He offers you. We're going to say sorry for our sins. We're going to express our trust in what Jesus has done for us and thank Him for His forgiveness and commit ourselves to living for Him. If this is you, pray along with me in your hearts. Lord Jesus, I am sorry for going my own way. I'm sorry for rejecting you as God and King. I'm sorry for sinning against you. Jesus, I am unclean and I really need washing. But Jesus, I thank you that you came to earth, lived the perfect life, and died on the cross for my sins, that you took my punishment, that I might not spend eternity apart from you, but that I might receive eternal life, that I might not live just ignorant of you, but that I might be forgiven, that I might be brought into relationship with you. Thank you for what you have done for me, Jesus. I believe in you, and I receive what you have done for me. I welcome you into my life as my Lord, as my King, as my Savior, as my Rescuer. Help me to live for you all my days. Amen. For those of you who in your hearts, and you just go, wow, this just happened really quickly. You just said, yes, I want to receive that gift. I want to receive you, Jesus. Your kind of eternity's just changed. I don't want to try play things down at all. Your eternities have just changed. And then you're in relationship with God. You've been washed. If in your heart you've actually just said, yes, Jesus, I turn to you. And if that's you tonight, I want you to do two things. First of all, when we jump up to sing in a second, I just want you to squeeze the arm of someone next to you, and they'll know what you're talking about, and you just give them a high five. Or, you know, they'll love it. But most importantly, this is a really big decision that you've just made. And we've got little slips of paper up the back, which we'd love you just to fill in, and so we can send you an email, because there's stuff we want to share with you and we want to walk with you along the journey. Or even if tonight, if you're just going, well, hold on. I'm not ready to make that kind of a commitment just yet, but I want to find out more. Again, write your name down, speak to someone. We'd love to talk to you about Jesus. I just want to exalt Jesus tonight. He is so important. There's just no sitting on the fence when it comes to Jesus. We either believe in him or we don't. And so I want to encourage you to consider. Now, I want to just wrap up the sermon as I do. I'll just get the musos to get up. But I wanted to finish off tonight's talk by speaking about a verse that has been really, 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 really precious to me. And I love how it comes into the Bible. It comes into the Bible because Peter is just, he's a little bit slow. And so Jesus says, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. And he blurts out, well, just clean me all over. And Jesus, you can just imagine, he's just going, he doesn't know what he's talking about, but I'm just going to roll with this. And he says to Peter, a person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean. And Peter, you are clean. Remember, Jesus is speaking on a deeper level. He's proclaiming some profound truths. And I just want to speak to people in this room tonight who know Jesus, who love him, who have given their lives to him. There's four truths you need to hear from this one line that God has really blessed my life with. First of all, you're clean. You know, I talked about our standing before God, us being filthy and just stinky and repulsive and sinful in God's sight. When you receive what Jesus has done for you, you're clean. You don't stink, you don't smell, you're not filthy in God's sight anymore. In fact, the Bible says that you are his son or his daughter. He loves you. You're forgiven. You stand to inherit eternal life. The second thing is that your feet are going to get dirty. You're going to wrestle with sin. You see, the reality is that when Jesus saves us, he does clean us. But we won't be made fully perfect. We won't be kind of fully cleansed till we're with God in eternity. And in the meantime, we've got the Holy Spirit living inside of us and making us more like Jesus. But we kind of wrestle with our sinful selves. And just like if I hopped in the ocean to get all the sand off me and walking back to the car, I'd inevitably get a bit of sand, a bit of dirt on my feet along that journey. Well, in the same way as we live our lives and as we wrestle, just we live in a broken world and we wrestle with our own sinful selves, we're going to let God down. And we're going to stuff up. And we're going to be really disappointed in ourselves and going to be really sorry to God. And I think sometimes because we get caught up in sin, we just think, oh my goodness, am I clean? Am I washed? Am I saved? And I want to tell you, and this is why Jesus says it to Peter, you're clean. And so your feet are going to get dirty. And when they get dirty, I don't want you to doubt that you're saved. I don't want you to doubt that you're not in relationship with God. I want you to say what Paul says in 1 Timothy 1 verse 15. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Your feet are going to get dirty. Thirdly, when your feet get dirty, you must willingly come to the foot washer. Christians aren't called to be perfect. Those of you who've been around Christians for long enough, you'll know that. They aren't called to be perfect, but they are called to be repentant. You know, the worst thing you could do when you start walking in sin is to ignore it, to cover it up, to try hide it from Jesus. In my experience, that only leads to more pain, more hurt. It leads to people feeling distance from God. A lot of people come to me and they say, I feel distance from God. And I wonder if it's because they've just been ignoring or covering up sin in their lives. And they are stunted in their spiritual growth. But Jesus calls us to come to him. When we wrestle, when we get caught up in our sin, we need to come to him. And just as Jesus washed his disciples' feet, just as he saw the stinkiness of the disciples' feet and still gave him a wash, he sees even the secret thoughts of our hearts. He sees the skeletons in our closets. He sees the ugly things that we wish no one else would see. But he desires to wash our feet because he loves us. And so when you're wrestling with sin, you need to come before Jesus and say, sorry. Jesus, I don't want to do this anymore. Would you help me to get better? Would you help me to stop doing this? And do it being confident that Jesus has forgiven you already in the cross, that his love is already yours. And as he does this, as Jesus ongoingly cleans us, he actually makes us more like him. Theologians call this sanctification, becoming more like Jesus. We might not be perfect now, and we might not be completely perfect in our lives, but Jesus is making us more perfect, more like him. So you're clean. Your feet are going to get dirty. When they get dirty, go to the foot washer. And fourthly, and where I want to finish up tonight, and this is what God has really burned into my heart from this passage, remember grace. I think it's really poignant that Jesus spoke these words to Peter. Because you think, you know, I think Peter had this whole concept of relationship with God where it was what he did for God. You know, in verse 37, later on in this chapter, when Jesus says, I'm going to die, Peter says, I will lay down my life for you. I'll lay down my life for you, Jesus. He had it caught up in his mind. What can I do for you, Jesus? And you know, I just think so many of us kind of get in a bit of a funk like that in relationship with God, and we just go, what can I do for you? I'm trying to get right with God by what we can do. You know, after Peter says that, Jesus, I'll lay down my life for you, you know what Jesus says? He says, Peter, before the sun rises, you're going to disown me three times. And that's what happens. Peter disowns him three times. But you know, Jesus still went to the cross for Peter because he loved him. And because Peter's relationship with Jesus was not based on what he'd done, but based on grace. And in the same way, Jesus sees all of our filthiness and still loves us. And that is grace. I wonder when Peter just said, Jesus, I'll lay down my life for you. I wonder if Jesus was thinking, Peter, no, I'm going to lay my life down for you. That's what he says to you guys tonight. I've laid down my life for you. Unless I wash you, you have no part with me. And if you are washed tonight, then we praise him because we are cleansed by the blood of Jesus. What a Jesus. And that's why I started off the talk tonight saying, Jesus amazes me. He sees the brokenness of my heart and he loves me. Let's worship that Jesus now.